Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
So this morning, you know, this week, obviously after the storm, immediately all I could really think about was just being thankful to God for preserving us and protecting us. And that's kind of the direction that I wanted to go with my sermon. And but at the same time, God's really been dealing with my heart with regards to many things, with regards to the end times, you know, and so I've been studying a lot of that, the true church, the false church, just all kinds of different stuff, and it's very powerful what is already in Scripture, you know, so it's not when we talk about prophetic Scripture, it's what God has already said about what's going to take place, so it's not something that we perceive, it's already written. It is written, certain things will happen, and in fact, you know, oftentimes we pray for things and we pray that for things that you know, we have no control over in the sense that, you know, God has already said it's going to be this way. So we just need to pray for our families, our loved ones, the people in our community and trust God. But we always pray according to His will, according to His purposes and plan. That's why it's important for you to know what God is busy doing right now. So you can pray according to what He's doing right now. Did you know that you could speak to God and He'll tell you what's happening right now? And guess where we start? In His Word. His Word will give you a great picture of where we are right now. So this morning I'm going to be talking to you about a banquet. Actually, there's two banquets, two feasts that we're going to talk about that God speaks about in Scripture. And Jesus actually is the one who shares them. It's two parables. And when you look at them, oftentimes you look at them and you think it's the same story, but actually it's not. It's two different settings and actually two different meals. We're going to get into that this morning. But what I do want to start by saying is this. In fact, let me start with a scripture. Are you guys okay this morning in Vero Beach? Isn't it great to be in church? Amen. I have a feeling tonight's going to be really good. But don't go by feelings though, you know. I sense there will be a powerful move of God tonight in this place. This morning I asked the group, you know, how many people here, and I'm going to ask you as well, just so I can see. I was very shocked this morning in the first service. How many of you here know what revival is? If you know what revival is, put your hand up. All right, excellent. Thank you for being honest. There's many people that don't actually know what revival is, and that's exciting for me because I'll talk about it in the days to come. We'll talk a little bit about it today, but really more in the days to come. I believe that God's heart is to revive His people, to revive the church, and then take that same spirit that's on the church into the world. His spirit. Can you say amen? If you look in the Bible, revival broke out on the day of Pentecost. The greatest revival I believe we've seen up until what we will see in the end. And there's scripture for that too, but we're not going to go there now. Let's go to Matthew 7, verse 13. Matthew 7, verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way. Everybody say way. Now remember this, the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. I don't know about you, but when I've heard that scripture in the past, that scripture was kind of like, wow. You know, broad is the way which leads to destruction, narrow is the way which leads to life, and I've had this picture in my mind, and we all actually, believe it or not, do think with pictures. So when you kind of picture it, you'll see this broad path, and there's all these people going on this broad path which leads to destruction. And then there's the narrow path which leads to life. What you've got to do is put it into perspective, because if you put it into perspective, you'll feel a little bit better. That, you know, if you find the narrow path, we're still talking about millions and millions and millions. Okay? Is that okay? But it says in the Bible, it says, difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Next verse. No, go back for me. Okay, let's leave it there. Broad is the way which leads to destruction, and there are many who go in it. Next verse, verse 14. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That scripture should not scare you. If you're a believer, if you washed in the blood of Jesus, if you serve Him, if you love Him, you have nothing to worry about. Why? Because you know the way. You know the way. I am the way. The way which leads to life is Jesus. Few find it because few find Him. But if you have found Him, if you know Him, if you serve Him, if you love Him, it's easy. Listen, life still happens, and there will be difficult times. There will be seasons that you won't even understand what on earth is going on. But the truth is that the path that leads to life is Jesus. And if we pick that path, if we choose that path of life, what will happen is what's been so difficult for you before will suddenly become a whole lot easier. Narrow is the path. There's not many ways to the Father. In fact, there's only one way, and His name is Jesus. But the truth is that when you find Him and you do what the Word says concerning Him, you love Him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, suddenly this battle that goes on the inside of you between the things of this world and the things of God becomes a much easier battle. Because you are not motivated by the law, you are motivated by your love for the way, which leads to life. And in serving Him and loving Him and following Him, it suddenly just becomes light. Because His burden and His yoke is easy and light to bear. But there's only one way, and it's narrow. But you can pick that way. You can choose that way. Can you say amen? Now, let's go in our Bibles to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse number 1. Let's start right there. Actually, Matthew 22, verse number 1. All right. And Jesus answered and spoke to them. So Jesus is speaking to them again by a parable and said, now, watch this now. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. Let's stop for a moment. Now, you know, now where we are, when he was sharing this parable with them, they didn't understand it. But when we're sitting right now, we can understand what this means. The certain king is obviously God, and the marriage is for his son, Jesus. Now watch what it says. Verse number 3. And sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. It's interesting because you'll notice that this invitation is sent out to these people, and we'll talk about who they are specifically in this parable in just a moment. But the Bible says they were not willing to come. They did not want to accept the invitation. And in verse number 4, it says, again, he sent out other servants, saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. Now, we need to stop there for just a moment, because what I'm about to share with you is extremely important when it comes to this parable. Because this parable, I believe, has already been fulfilled. In other words, it's already taken place. Watch. The word there for dinner is wrong. It shouldn't be dinner, because it's the Greek word ariston. The Greek word ariston should actually be breakfast. It should actually be breakfast, or morning meal, or meal before noon. That's what it means in the Greek. Ariston is an early meal. It's not a dinner. Amen. So God has prepared this meal for them, and He's invited them to the breakfast. How many of you know you eat breakfast before dinner? In most parts of the world. Amen. Okay, amen. Now watch. So he says, I've prepared my dinner, but it should be breakfast or early meal. My oxen and fatted calf are killed, and all things already come to the wedding. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business, and the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. Now, isn't this interesting? Because this is a picture. Listen to me now. This is a picture of the children of Israel. That, and you can see by scripture, he's talking about his servants that went out to prepare the way for the coming Messiah. But as we know, they did not accept him. They rejected him. Watch this now. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants and treated them spitefully and killed them. You'll read scripture that speaks about the prophets that were killed, that were persecuted. We read about that. But when the king heard about it, he was furious and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. This was fulfilled in 70 AD when the temple was destroyed in Jerusalem. Are you with me, church? Now, look at what it says. So we see that God had prepared a meal. He had prepared his king, that Jesus came for the children of Israel. When he came, they were too busy. They thought that they had qualified. They thought that they were ready. They were religious. And they did not recognize the Christ when he came. So God was angry and he ended up destroying their city, right? We know that by scripture. So the Jewish people, the children of Israel, refused the invitation. Look at what he says. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite them to the wedding. This scripture reminds me of Matthew 28:19. We don't have to go there, but I'll read it to you. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. So the children of Israel rejected him, and God says, okay, let's go into all the nations, and let's get them saved and bring them in. Right? He says, therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite them to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. I love this because the Bible says that the servants went out and they collected both bad and good. That's good news for you and me. Amen. Because how many of you were bad? Amen. How many of you are still bad? Don't put your hand up. Leave your hand down. Amen. The truth is that God went out into the world to save everybody. He sent his son to die to save us all. Can you say amen? And look at what it says. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. Now watch this. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have a wedding garment. Now this is important because what you need to understand is that when in those days, when they would go to a wedding or a banquet like this, a feast, there would be a garment that would be prepared for them. So when they got there, that garment would be put on them and they would go into the feast. This man arrives at the feast and thinks he can slip in unnoticed and no one will notice that he's not wearing the garment. Now, what we need to understand is that in order for us to get to salvation, to have eternal life, there's only one way. That way is Jesus. That way is the Lord. Can you say amen? There is no other way to salvation. When you get saved, you get a robe of righteousness. That robe is given to you. That's what will qualify you for the feast. So the only way that you can enter in is by the righteousness of Christ, not your own. This man assumed that he could slip in unnoticed based on his religious situation. What you must understand is the children of Israel back then did not recognize the Christ and they thought that because of their religious state, they would be okay. Because they went to church, because they practiced their religion, because they did their things right, that qualified them to go to the banquet. But that's not how it works. There's only one way to get to the banquet, and that is by the righteousness of Christ. The king has come. The meal's been prepared. Now we have to take it and go into it. Can you say amen? Now watch. But when the king, verse number 11, but when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? Look at this. And he was speechless. He was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of feet. For many are called, or another translation would be, many are invited, but few are chosen. Isaiah 61 verse number 10 says this, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with the garment of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. The truth is that the only way to qualify for the feast, the only way to get into the feast is with a robe of righteousness that's given to you because of the blood of Jesus. Can you say amen? Don't be caught speechless. Don't be caught in a situation like the religious system of old, the Hebrew system. They thought that their religious state would be enough to get them saved, would be enough to qualify them. There's only one way that we are qualified, and that is by the blood of Jesus. They missed it. The invitation went out. The Messiah came, and they missed their moment of visitation. Can you say amen? They missed it. They were caught speechless. There is only one way. There is only one way to salvation, and that is through the blood. There is only one true way, and that is when we give our hearts and our lives to Jesus. You can look at it from so many perspectives. The scripture I read to you about the narrow path or the broad path, you can look at it and go, oh, it's so difficult. No, it isn't difficult. It's not difficult when you give your life to Him. It's not difficult when you serve Him. We're not talking about religion. We're talking about relationship. Amen. You see, your religion will not save you. Your heart is what's important to God. So God sets this whole thing up, and we see this religious system of old, specifically the Hebrew people, we see how they rejected the Christ. And it almost looks like the supper is postponed. Now watch. Let's go to the book of Luke. Are you guys okay? Luke 14:15. We'll start there. Luke 14:15. Just want to make sure I gave the right scripture reference. Okay. Luke 14:15. So now we see this picture. Now Jesus gives another parable which sounds very much the same, except I believe that he's now speaking to a different people. Watch this. Luke 14:15. Now when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is he who shall eat in the kingdom of God. Then he said to him, this is Jesus now, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many. Now, the word for supper here is not the same word that was used in the first parable. The word for supper here is diephnon, and it means exactly what it says. It means supper, dinner, or feast, but it speaks of a meal at the end of the day. Now watch what it says. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, watch this now, come, for all things are now ready. In the first parable, he sets it up, the people reject him. In the second parable, he says, go and get them. All things are now ready, and now we're going to have a supper. Let me read to you out of the book of Revelation. Revelation 19, verse number 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage supper of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. That's the bride of Christ, that's you and me. And to her it was granted to be arrayed with fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. So we can see that this marriage supper of the Lamb, or this dinner, has now been prepared. All things are ready. All things are completed. And the invitation has gone out. But who's the invitation gone out to? I'm so glad you're asking so many questions this morning. Let's go to verse number 18. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have brought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. Can you imagine buying a piece of property without seeing it? And another said, I have brought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. I ask that you have me excused. Again, imagine buying something without testing it or seeing it first. Still another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. One excuse after another excuse. But remember, the invitation has been sent out. Don't think for one second that your religion is going to get you to be in the marriage supper of the Lamb. Religion did not work for the children of Israel. Can you hear what I'm saying? In this parable, he's not speaking to them anymore. He's speaking to all of us. The invitation has gone out. There is only one way that you can be righteous, that you can receive that invitation and go in, and that's because of the blood of the Lamb. There is only one way. His name is Jesus. There is no other way that you can get in. There is no other way that you can get through. There is no other way to get on that path. There is no other way to enter the banquet. The only way in is the way, and his name is Jesus. But let me ask you a question. Are you walking with the way? Do you know the way? Can people tell that you know him? Can people tell that you serve him? Because the truth is that the Bible says that we need to believe in our heart and confess with our mouths that Jesus was risen and that he is Lord. The truth is that the way that we live will tell the story as to whether we're really walking it out or not. Don't think that because we go to church on Sundays or because of this or because of that, and I'm not saying that to hammer you or to come against anybody or anything like that. I'm saying this to you because this is our reality. Is that many people and even teachings today will teach you that you can just go to church, just believe and you'll be fine. Well, I don't think that that's true. Based on this parable, your religion is not going to get you there. Your religion is not going to get you into the banquet. And as your pastor in this world where things are really dark and getting darker and darker, and people get upset when we talk about things like this because they get upset because the world is teaching you that everything has become acceptable. Well, you know, we just need to accept everybody. Listen, we can love everybody, but we can't accept everything. There's a, I think he was a governor, I'm not sure, in a state up north that confessed that he's into, what is it? Child pornography. And it must be okay. And I'm looking at this thinking to myself, how on earth is this even allowed? How can this even be? Well, he hasn't done it, but he thinks it should be okay. Are you kidding me? And then you hear about things accepted in the church today that clearly are completely against the word of God. But, you know, we need to accept everything. No, it doesn't work that way. There is only one way, and that's Jesus. In other words, we preach Jesus, the real Christ. We preach what he said, what he did. We preach his life, we preach his words, and nothing changes because society changes it. Can you say amen? It has to be what he says. Because when you preach what he says and what he does, you'll get the same results. You see, Jesus came to set the captive free. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. If you want to have breakthrough in your marriage, in your life, in your family, in your business, in your personal walk, so many of us walk around so defeated because we completely just lost. Doesn't have to be that way. So what is the way? What's the answer? The answer is you need to know the way. You need to have a relationship with the way. Not just be a seat warmer. Amen. You were not called to be an Oceans United Christian Center seat warmer, although we love you to sit there. You are called to be a witness. You are called to take that change that's taken place in your heart out into the streets, out into the highways and the byways, and bring change and bring deliverance and bring healing and bring restoration. That's the message of the kingdom of God. That's the message of the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom. Some people will say to you, well, you know, Pastor Alex, that's not true. You know, when we get saved, we have it all. If you have it all, show me. I don't want you to tell me, I want you to show me, because the Bible says the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. So if you have the power, show me the power, because I want to see it. No, we are walking it out. We are walking it out. As we're in relationship with Him, He begins to walk with you. He begins to equip you. He begins to clothe you. He begins to prepare you. And you will have the power you need. And you will have the miracles that are necessary. And you will walk into what He has for you. Because that's what happens when you begin to walk with Him. The Bible says that blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. When you hunger and thirst for righteousness, but the problem is we focus on the seeking for righteousness. It shouldn't be like that. You should be seeking the way. Who's the way? Jesus is the way. What happens when you seek the way? When you hunger and thirst for the way, when you hunger and thirst for Jesus, what happens is the laws fade away. Why? Because you just naturally don't want to do them. Why? Because you know it affects your relationship. You know it affects your walk with Him. But your focus isn't the mistakes. Your focus isn't the sin. Your focus isn't that stuff. Your focus is the Lord. David said, take not your presence from me. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. When you hunger for His presence, when you hunger for the Spirit of God, when you hunger for relationship with God, that's when things just begin to change. I'm not interested in theology. I mean, I am interested. I'm actually very interested in theology. And I love the Word. I eat it. I eat food that's not from man. Heavenly food that feeds me, that cleanses me, that makes me whole. But you must understand, I can only do that because the Holy Spirit dwells inside me. I have a relationship with Him. He opens up the Scriptures to me. I'm tired, church, of defeated families, broken marriages, broken homes, broken situations, because we don't walk with God. There's no other reason. There is no other reason. You want to get into the banquet, you got to know the way. You got to walk with the way. We need to walk with Him. We need to have a relationship with Him, and things will begin to change. That's when the change takes place. If you're a father in this house, if you're a man and you're sitting here and you are the father, or you're going to be one, you are the high priest of your household. You need to be an example. You need to go to God on behalf of your half of your family, and you need to go to your family and you need to minister to them the things of God. That's your responsibility. Your responsibility is not to have one foot in the church, lift your hands on Sunday, and then watch porn all week. My heart goes out to how many men struggle with these things, and it's destroying their families. Why? Because they don't know the way. They don't know the way. They don't seek the way. Sin happens. We make mistakes, and we are here to help you all the way. And sometimes things become an addiction, and we will do what we can as a church to help you in every way. But let me speak to the wives now. You also cannot compromise. If you're a wife, you need to be a godly wife. You need to be a wife that seeks after the Lord. You can't go and behind the scenes drink all your wine behind and no one sees. You have to be an example to your household, to your family. And I'm not against alcohol. But I've seen the damage that it does. Oh, Pastor Alex, I want a righteous husband. Be a righteous wife. Oh, Pastor Alex, I want a righteous wife. Be a righteous husband. What does that mean? That means you seek the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. Get on the way. Get to know the way. Get into the way. Let the way lead you and guide you. And then even when you make mistakes, there will be grace for you. There will be compassion and love. Where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. But don't pretend. Don't be religious. Don't pretend. Don't be the great pretender. Can you say amen? Guys, my heart is bursting for you, for us, for all of us, for me, for my family, for all of us. I don't want to be a church that just does church, that comes here on Sundays. We have a lovely building and awesome screens and all this stuff and a cafe. And it means nothing if lives are not changing. It means nothing if we're not fulfilling the vision and the purpose that God has for us. If people don't change. Listen, you have an invitation to the banquet. The invitation is out. Take it. Take that invitation. Take the invitation. All right. All right, where are we? What verse were we on? Okay, verse number 20. Still another said, I have married a wife. I'm almost done. And therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported all things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. Isn't that incredible? The Bible says in Matthew 5:3, you don't have to go there, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You see, that's what it's going to take, guys. It's going to take a broken heart. It's going to take someone saying, okay, God, I can't do this in my own strength. The things I'm struggling with, I can't do them. But if I can have a broken heart, if I can come to you and say, okay, there's only one way. His name is Jesus. I'm going to press into the way. I'm going to begin to seek you with all of my heart. That's when you will have a heart like that and you will be blessed. You will have a ticket. You will have an invitation that you will receive to go into the banquet. Can you say amen? And the servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room. Then the master said to his servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. That's frightening. You have an invitation, church. You have been called by God to serve Him. You have an opportunity to give your life to Him. We can't play church. We can't do that. That's not what we're here for. We are here to make a difference. Jesus did not come so that we could have nice church services. He came to set the captive free. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to preach liberty and freedom to those who are broken and hurting. There are people that need salvation. There are people that need a touch. There are people that are hungry. That's why the word says, go out to those who are desperate, because there's too many who are comfortable. There's too many who don't need me. But go out to the lost and the broken and the hurting. Go out to the poor and bring them in and let them taste the goodness of the Lord. Well, what has He done for me? He's done it all. Don't you understand? He's already saved you. He died for you. That's why it doesn't matter what you face. He's still good. Why? Because He died for you and you have eternal life. You might get 90 years on this earth if you're lucky. Eternity is a long time, and He's already paid that price for you. The invitation is out. The Bible says that those who endure to the end, they will be saved. He's talking about believers. He's talking about those that already believe. And He's saying that they will be saved if they endure to the end. That means we cannot get comfortable in our religion. We have to have a relationship with God. He's interested in your heart, guys. Can you say amen? All right, I'm almost done. Are you guys okay? All right, every Sunday is different. Verse 22. Okay, verse 24. All right. All right, let's go to, I'm almost done. Let's go to Act 7. Wait. Go to Act 7, verse 51. Just get it ready for me, but don't put it on the screen. Act 7, 51. Sometimes it's so hard to, like, speak what's in my heart. Because, you know, you never want to make people feel bad or anything. That's never the goal. The goal is, you are the goal. Your life is so important to Him. If it weren't, you wouldn't be here this morning. You wouldn't have this opportunity this morning to get right with Him. The Bible says when Stephen was getting stoned, the Bible says this, put that scripture up for me. While he was getting stoned, he said this, he cried out this, just before he died, he said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears." He's talking to the religious people, even those that were leaders. "You always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Church, let us not be this way." Because right now, the cries from heaven are so loud, I can't get it out of me. There's going to be a great harvest that's going to come in of souls, the likes of which we have not seen. It has to happen. It will happen. Don't sit and watch it take place. Don't think you're going to slip into the banquet hall. Rather be one that takes that invitation and runs with it. And put that robe of righteousness on. It's been given to you. It's a free gift. But there's only one way. There's only one way. The Bible says that we need to watch out for false prophets and false teachings and false things that will try to convince you of a false Jesus, a false gospel, and a false spirit. His word has never changed. It remains the same. It still has power to deliver, to set free. There are people sitting here this morning, you have great needs. Great needs. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then guess what? All these things will be added unto you. He will provide. But it starts by making a decision. To make a real, true decision with your whole heart. The invitation is out. What are you going to do with it? Every one of you here this morning, you're without excuse. You have it. It's in your hands right now. What are you going to do with it? Men, what are you going to do with it? Wives, what are you going to do with it? I am sometimes embarrassed of how I behave in front of my daughter. And I'm not that bad. Am I bad, darling? She has to say that she's in church. I've learned the power of repentance. I go and repent to them when I get out of control. And I don't get, okay, now don't think I'm all bad. Okay, maybe a little bad. But I want her to know what repentance does. So if I get a little loud or I get a little upset, afterwards I'll go to her and say, "Sweetheart, that daddy was wrong." And you should see the power it has. It's taught them repentance. And it brings a freedom. It brings a freedom, guys. There are many people that struggle with sin. They cannot get away from it. Well, I've got news for you. You will never get away from it until you surrender to Him. And I mean real surrender. Because that's what will empower you. Grace. Not false grace. That tells you can do what you want. A grace that will teach you and empower you to overcome. Everything that comes your way. Everything you're struggling with, you can overcome it. Because He's already overcome it. And when you're in Him, the greatest struggles I've had, I was able to overcome when I surrendered to Him. And now I just am thankful for grace. But I love Him with my whole heart. Will you take up the call this morning, church, to love him with your whole heart? And then that narrow road won't look so difficult anymore. Can you say amen? Amen. Can I ask you just to bow your heads for just a moment? This is really important this morning. Before I begin to pray, I want you to know there's no condemnation. I didn't say about drinking or any of that stuff to bring anyone under condemnation. But I deal with this stuff on a weekly basis. And it breaks my heart to see the suffering that takes place in families because of these things. And there are two things that I find very destructive, pornography and alcohol. And there's many others, but I just want to share that with you this morning. And I'm not trying to condemn anyone that drinks a glass of wine. That's not what I'm trying to do. But you know when it's a problem. Don't let it be a problem in your house. Now, if you've come here this morning, I want you to open your heart now. This message is very important this morning. Because I can tell you the banquet is being prepared right now. And there will be a supper that will take place. And you're all invited. And so, Father, this morning we just come to you in this moment. So many here love you so much and are so faithful to you, Father, serve you with their whole hearts. But even if there's just one here this morning, Lord, that's life can change. Not because of great preaching or not because of a great word or anything like that, but because for this moment, in this moment, they recognize that there's no other way. That you are the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus. That no one comes to the Father except through you. And we receive that this morning. I ask, Father, right now that there will be no condemnation for any person sitting here, that they will recognize that your grace and your mercy will be sufficient. But that it starts with making a decision to follow you. We repent and we follow you. And so if you've come here this morning and you say, Pastor Alex, this is me. I need to make my life right with him. I want to take that invitation. If that's you, lift your hand real quick so I can pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hands going up all over. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. So many hands. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Thank you so much. So many hands. God bless you. If there's anybody else that says, Pastor Alex, please include me. I need to make my life right with God. I can't just be practicing a form of religion. I want to give my heart to him this morning. I want to give my life to him. If that's you and you say, Pastor, include me. Lift your hand up real quick and I'll pray. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you in the back. I see the hands going up all over. God bless you. Thank you so much. You can put them down. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sweetheart. You're so precious. Anybody else say, Pastor, one more time. I'm just going to hold it open for just a few more seconds. If you feel him nudging at your heart, I see your hand, ma'am. Thank you. God bless you. Anybody else say, Pastor, include me. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. I see you waving there in the back. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. In this moment, if I can ask nobody, please don't leave right now. If we can all stand for just a moment. A lot of hands went up. If you lifted your hand, the Bible says that if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that he died and rose again and he's the Son of God, he's the Lord of your life. If you believe that Jesus died and rose again and he is the Son of God and you confess it and you believe it, you will be saved. That's all it takes, but it's got to be from your heart and you've got to make the confession. So this morning we're going to pray a prayer. And those of you that lifted your hands, there were so many. If I can ask you just to pray this prayer with us. And at the end of the service, I'll have leaders in the front here that would be so happy to pray with you if you want prayer. Also, come back tonight. We're going to have a wonderful service. But for those of you that lifted your hands, let's pray this prayer. But everyone, let's pray together this morning. Let's bow our heads. But pray it from your heart, guys. Say, Father, we come to you this morning. I come to you this morning. I give my heart to you. I give my life to you. I believe that Jesus died and rose again and is the Son of God. Forgive me for my sins. Write my name in the book of life. Wash me in your blood. Make me whole. Make me new. I give my life to you. In Jesus' name. Now, if I could ask you right there where you are, if you could just lift your hands if you can. If you can't, that's okay. But especially those of you that just pray, just lift your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray for everyone right now, right where they are. Lord, just fill them up right now with your presence. Holy Spirit, make yourself so real to them. Open the word up to them. Open their eyes that they might see, Father. Let them know your goodness and your mercy and your love, and let them follow you all the days of their life. Thank you, Father, for what you have done this morning in the lives of so many. We are so thankful that we have this invitation and that we can walk it out and do everything you've called us to do. We love you for your grace. We love you for your mercy. We love you for your goodness. Don't let us be the same anymore, Father. We follow you with our whole hearts. We love you and we praise you. Now I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of the Father and the fellowship with the Spirit be with you all as you leave this morning. Go in the peace of God and know that He is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Stay with Him. Stay close to Him. Keep your eyes on Him. In the name of Jesus, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.